Ooh. Do 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 do.
Yeah. Is this because of the combat going on the internet right now?
Mainly, yes.
Social media? Because, like, I woke up this morning and it was like RIP Twitter, like hashtags.
That's so dramatic.
Well, but guess what it is in 2022? Uh-huh. It's very binary. You live, you die. Mm-hmm. You live, you die.
You're with us or against us?
Gee, you love, you hate.
Yeah. Can I be in between?
No, you can't. Yeah. You tweet or die. Mm-hmm. You go to Mastodon or you die. Yeah. On Twitter with everybody else. And, uh-huh. Well, even Elon himself, he sent out the 2022 ultimatum to the staff over there. And he said, you're with me or get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
And he said, you're going to work harder than you ever worked before in your life.
Report to Twitter HQ in 3 hours.
And those engineers, they were like, no, we're good. We're good. Yeah. We'll take the 3 month package. Mm-hmm. We're good. And he's like, hey, man.
Yeah, come back. Don't do that.
Hey, man. Easy. Just trying to get you guys fired up. Then they were changing the sign on the outside of the building. People love that when they, you know, they had it scrolling across. Elon's an idiot or whatever. The people, they love that.
Elon's an idiot.
See, you know what I'm saying? Launching to bankruptcy. They take photos and you're in San Francisco. It's really just a projection on the building, but people, they love it. They love the projection on the building. And they take the photos. And everybody wants to see everything destroyed. They want to see it crumble.
Okay.
What is it about us? Well, you know, earlier this morning I was reading about chimpanzees. I don't know how this got served up to me, but it was on this face transplant that this woman had to have because the pet chimpanzee decided, don't look it up.
Okay.
Don't look it up.
No, I heard about that story.
The pet chimpanzee decided.
It was the friend's chimpanzee.
I'm not having it today.
Yeah.
And you know.
Today's the day.
What they do, Will, is they go for any protrusion on the body. Anything sticking out, they can grab hold of.
Yeah. Or sink
their
the groin
canines into, Will.
That's intense.
Oh, they'll disfigure you. There's not a lot of species that'll do that. Most of the predators, they want to be done with you. They want to consume you. Others,
they just go for the neck.
Others want to embarrass you.
Yeah.
Incapacitate you. Be cruel to you. Possibly even torture you. And that's an exclusive group we belong to, Will. I hope you're enjoying your time here.
Oh, God. I want to go to space or something. Not here.
You think it's going to be any different over there?
No.
Yeah.
There's chimpanzees over
there.
That's
right. They're waiting for you.
Oh, no.
They're waiting for you. In
space suits.
And they don't like the cut of your jib, sir.
Oh, gosh.
So.
It's like I brought bananas.
No. Yeah. Okay. They're like, we've seen that trick before.
Yeah.
You think we're falling for that? Planet of the Apes. You think we're falling for that?
Yeah.
Notice how you're going to another planet. What are you, recreating some kind of film here? What's going on? Man, it was, you know, it's tough. It's tough out there.
Yeah.
And he keeps going, oh, you all think this baby's burning down from the inside out because of the projection on the building or the hashtag or whoever's venting on Twitter. Former employees are being locked out of the building and all this. And then he goes, record numbers. He goes, you keep chatting, record numbers.
Yeah.
Engagement, engagement. Thank you for this song today, Will. I appreciate it. Engagement! Can't you picture it? Like everything's burning down around. Engage! The humans are engaged!
There's always the opposite.
The humans are engaged. It's all we want. It's all we care about. Are they angry? Are they happy? Are they sad? They are engaged!
Oh, Fridays, eh?
It's like in the Colosseum, in the Gladiator, are you not entertained?
Yeah.
But it's the social media equivalent. Are you not engaged?
You're Russell Crowe?
That's right, I'm Russell Crowe. The social media equivalent. And maybe it's no surprise that Elon himself in his profile picture is wearing some sort of Roman attire, is he not?
No, that's the Iron
Man. Oh, okay.
No?
No, I don't think it's Iron Man. He's looking like a knight or something. It's from that Halloween
maybe
party.
Maybe you're right, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's looking armored up.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's okay. What I'm talking about. You see, he's doing the thing that I said. Record engagement.
It's been right there.
Record engagement. The humans are engaged. And then you take a step back and you realize the size of the universe. And you think about Albert Einstein and you realize how ridiculous it all is, don't you?
Yeah.
Don't you?
Perspective.
Don't you? You're just floating around. And then my kid asks me, how big is the sun actually? And I'm like, oh.
What?
I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not on Twitter.
Yeah.
You're not on Twitter, are you? Anyway, some people came back, and I guess there's some celebration that's taking place. Some people came back that were previously banned. It's definitely not everybody, including Trump. Trump, Elon said, we're still thinking about Trump. I guess they have to have a phone call or something. I don't know how that works. Still thinking about it.
Mm.
I don't know who you have to talk to. You're the supreme leader of Twitter now. I feel like you could pull it off if you really wanted. But you do have Kathy Griffin is back. Jordan Peterson is back. They were banned for different reasons. Kathy Griffin, happened like recently over the imposter.
Impersonating Trump.
There you go. No, I thought she was. Okay, whatever.
Her name was Elon Musk. And she was verified.
Impersonating Musk, not Trump. You said Trump.
Did I say Trump?
I see where you're
at. I apologize.
I see what's going
Trump
on.
Trump is in my mind right now because I will really want to know. Like, if he's going to be
and
reinstated.
I really want to know. Oh, baby. Hey, baby. And I really want to say I can't get by.
But there's others. Not just Trump.
I ain't got no crystal ball.
Yeah.
But I got $1 million and I'll spend it all if I could get that and that satchel that she found. Papa capping and all but down.
I thought you were going to throw up right there.
I'm trying to remember who sang that song, Will. You see, it's because it's your fault. You said, I really want to know, which is obviously a key lyric in that. The song is called Santeria. The song is called Santeria, and the group is called Sublime.
Okay.
All right, so you best know that now, all right? Whether you like it or not. So you can say goodbye to all of our engagement.
No.
It's gone.
Boy.
You know where it went? It went over to Twitter. As soon as I started singing, our engagement went to Twitter.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We got one viewer.
Elon Musk reinstated controversial Twitter users Kathy Griffin, Jordan Peterson, and the Babylon Bee as he explained a new content policy reversing Twitter's prior stance of removing harmful content as questions swirl over who will actually staff the company. There's nobody left. They're all locked out. Who's in the building? Who's running this thing? The inmates are running the asylum. The sky is falling. The new Twitter policy is freedom of speech, but not freedom of reach. Musk tweeted Friday afternoon, adding Twitter will demonetize and not promote tweets containing hate speech or otherwise negative content. Negative content blanket. Negative blanket. Musk also announced the reinstatement of previously banned users Kathy Griffin, Jordan Peterson, Babylon Bee, apparently referring to the liberal comedian Griffin, the far-right commentator and psychologist Peterson, and the correctly spelled conservative satire publication. What? Okay, that's Forbes words, by the way. I don't... Trump decision has not yet been made was also part of the tweet. I think he's trying to deliver on changes rapidly because people's expectations of change and him being involved and, oh, what did Elon actually do? And these are like kind of landmark things that people are looking for. Bring back that guy. Bring back that guy. And he's supposed to be the call-in for help line, and people are slamming him with these requests to do these things. And this, he brings some people back that were previously banned. Let me tell you something. It doesn't really change all that much, other than the fact that now it's a new party that gets to determine what is considered to be negative. Do you understand what I mean? Like, I guess you can draft up a policy and get very specific about it. And I guess maybe you ban less frequently, but it is a type of ban, as people would call it, a shadow ban. You don't know you're banned. You're saying something unsavory, and it's not really reaching anyone. Mm-hmm. Is that better? Maybe it's a little bit less alienating. You keep shouting into the distance as if you were somebody standing on a street corner, except everyone walks past you and nobody listens. Freedom of speech, not freedom of reach. I don't know, Will, how you implement these things, but it's still extremely squirrely. It's still incredibly muddy as to how these calls are made and what set of words and combination of letters equates to hate or negative, and then who is the judge and jury of such things? That still exists. It's just going to exist, I guess, now in a shadow fashion without the freedom of reach, but with the freedom of speech. I don't know which one's better, because now you have all this guesswork of people wondering, you know how many people are going to be making claims like, oh, the only reason my words are not getting out there is because I can't reach anyone, because I'm the one telling the truth. Like, just exactly like the shadow ban conversation. So maybe you make everything open. You let people examine these reasons. I don't know how we're going to be able to look into tweets to see whether or not it's being widely distributed or less so because of certain language. It's all very interesting. I'll read this is the full tweet. New Twitter policy is freedom of speech, not freedom of reach. Negative/hate tweets will be max deboosted and demonetized, so no ads or other revenue to Twitter. You won't find the tweet unless you specifically seek it out, which is no different from the rest of the internet. Which he's kind of right there, because that's sort of what Google does quietly. You know, the type of search results that surface, the publications that are perceived as reliable, have a good ranking, deliver engagement. Yeah. But anyway, no. And then stuff that's more fringe, I guess, is more buried. It's just... I don't know how in the past companies haven't been all that transparent about that. And if you're out here telling people that that's how things are working, you may have people on the other end working extra hard to have their stuff seen, knowing that they're now they've been told publicly that they're being deboosted for their ideas. You see what I'm saying here? Mm-hmm. As opposed to them having to guess, maybe I am, maybe I'm not.
Right. And it seems like here, this is like for each individual tweet.
Each individual tweet.
Which is very hard to.
You want your tweet to go far and wide? You better bless it with some Elon dust. You better satisfy Mr. Musk. You better put a little Elon's. You better put some of Elon's Musk on there. And then all of a sudden, you got 188,000 likes and 34,000 retweets in 3 hours. Right? What about him himself? Can he get deboosted maximum? Imagine his own tweet. He's like, damn, caught in the net.
Maybe.
Well, it's still the same muddy mess that social media and communication will always be, and speech will always be, and it's just the nature of it. Sensitivities and history and really just the the downsides of, obviously there's plenty of upsides with language and there's some downsides as well. Sometimes things get missed and it's not interpreted correctly, or it can be intentionally hurtful. And we always have the conversation around doxing, and many people seem to agree there are some parameters around how to effectively communicate in most cases.
And when they say freedom of speech, there's a lot of other people that were banned. Are they going to be reinstated?
Well, that's the thing. These are some high profile users. What about the people who are lower profile users, and they're sitting there waiting because they're not going to make any news article when they come back? So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out.
Case by case.
Okay, it's going to be a case by case basis. As long as there's maximum engagement.
Yeah.
On the content. Mm-hmm. Maximum content engagement.
Yeah.
Just like this show right here. Google Maps got a big update that shows where fast charging EV stations are and more. Oh, Google Maps is, in my opinion, the most underrated app on your phone. Mm-hmm. I am a big Maps guy. Sometimes, I told you this before, I'll just open up some maps and spec out different trips and consider different detours and map things out inside of Maps. Mm-hmm. It's one of those ones that gets no love. Everyone just, yeah, of course I have Maps, but you try to not have Maps in there. There's a lot of other apps you would give up before Maps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always passive and very effective.
Maybe that's an indication of how good it is. You don't even think about it much. Yeah. You just take it, wow, sick Maps. And now they're going to make them even more comprehensive by putting the fast charging EV stuff in there, which obviously applies to you now, Mr. Tesla, Mr. Elon over there. Next week, an augmented reality feature called Search with Live View will be available in 6 cities on Google Maps. Little augmented experience, as if you've already traveled there where you're about to travel to. Get a little sense for it, get a little taste for it. Busy guy will catch in a phone call right now. Google also added accessibility information to Maps globally. Now, when they're talking about a fast charger, here we have an image of an EQC 400 4MATIC charging. An updated version of Google Maps for Android and iPhone is rolling out with several new features. The option to search for electric vehicle stations with fast chargers and the augmented reality feature. If you search for a charging station in Google Maps, for example, a new option appears that allows you to filter out to only show fast charge stations that are compatible with the plug that your car uses. Lovely. It's unfortunate that it's not completely universal. Maybe one day, but for the time being, you are going to need to make sure that it is the one you're looking for. You can see it's popped open here with some charge point stations, Charge Fox station, NMRA charging station, and an EV charging station. And each one is going to showcase that distinction of fast charge capability, which may be important to you depending on the type of road trip you're about to embark on. Fast charging will include stations with chargers 50 kilowatts or higher. The update is available in countries where EV charging stations are available, according to Google. Now, this AR feature looks pretty cool. Check this out. So we're seeing pinpointed, wow, this is, so when you, never mind, you're not looking at this in advance, this is live when you're there. You hold up your phone because you can't find the Starbucks in this scenario, and it actually pins it on your screen to the direction you should be walking in. This is for when you get very close to your destination and you just can't see the sign.
I've used it a couple times. It's quite useful. I like useful.
That's pretty cool. When you hold up your phone, for example, and tap the camera icon in Maps, you'll see nearby landmarks, parks, hotels, restaurants, bars, banks, and ATMs. You'll also see info such as how busy the location is, whether it's open, what the price range is, and how it's rated by Google Maps users. Well, Google Maps is the original social media. Well, go out there and you socialize. Original, review app, original dating app, Maps. What can you do without Maps? Nothing.
Nothing, no.
Get nowhere. Sit in your room. I guess you could explore without it.
That'd be kind of cool.
Might be interesting too. Yeah, just look around. Mm-hmm. Toyota shows second EV prototype, touting itself as a leader in electrification with beyond zero EV sales. Ooh, shots fired. Shots fired. Well, listen, Toyota been a little slow to get involved here. But we've seen Toyota do great things in the past. So I don't know that I'd write them off just yet, even though they're a little bit late to the party. And I know they did have to recall some of these BZ compact vehicles. A bunch of issues going on. It's unfortunate in the meantime, but I feel like Toyota can figure it out. They're kind of a big deal. No, Will?
Oh, yeah. They're just a little late.
At the LA Auto Show, Toyota revealed its BZ compact SUV concept, the second fully electric vehicle from the BZ, which stands for Beyond Zero lineup. Despite Toyota claiming Beyond Zero, the automaker has little to show in terms of zero-emission EV sales. After hyping the debut of its fifth-generation hybrid Prius, Toyota is giving us a look at what could be its next pure electric model. Although Toyota has been a leader in the hybrid technology for over 20 years, you remember when the Prius was all over the place, the automaker recalled all EV models sold over concerns that the wheel can detach fully from the vehicle.
Oh, no.
Engagement. Yeah. Well, that's a tough one because that really doesn't have to do with their EV tech. That's just a manufacturing problem. Yeah, that can happen on a combustion vehicle as well.
Oh, man. Imagine you're driving. All of a sudden, your wheel just falls off.
It's just, and it's also, they invested so much money and people were so excited to get the first electric Toyota. And then they turn around and go, yo, that wheel might fall off the steering wheel there.
Yeah.
They're talking about the steering wheel, right?
I'm thinking it's the steering wheel.
Yeah. Let me see what it says. Wheel can detach from vehicle. Yeah. Do they mean the wheel, like one of the four tires? Wheels? No.
Either way is very dangerous.
Whatever. It's bad either way. Yeah. Actually, what do you think is worse? I think your steering wheel detaching might be worse.
I think it's the worst because you're controlling the vehicle itself.
I don't know, actually. But you might be able to slam it back on there. If and then the amount of damage, if you lose an actual wheel from the vehicle, one of the four that you're sitting on, then you're scraping and smashing.
Braking might not even help. You're losing the steering wheel, you just brake, I guess.
You're braking either way, right? If you have three out of four tires on the road. But anyway. So I hope they can figure it out, turn it around, because the stuff they're doing looks cool. I talked about the Lexus one, which is based on this as well in the past. It's cool shapes. I think this one has a yoke as well, which I have a little yoke experience, very futuristic type of experience. Ooh, look at the curved display in there. God, this is a super minimalist interior.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's heavy on the science fiction.
Little table.
Heavy dose. I kind of root for them. I've had some Toyota product in the past, and it used to be the epitome of quality control and JD Power Associates and so forth. Like as far as reliability and initial quality, it's tough out here, though. It's very competitive in the EV space, and many have a head start and have already figured things out.
Yeah.
By the way, how's the quality control on your Model 3? You pick up any little weirdness yet?
No. So I've been watching a lot of videos.
Zero?
And on delivery day, it was actually very solid. I had a whole checklist and everything.
Yeah, well, I know.
Shout out Test Bros.
I was looking at it for like 30 seconds and I saw those panel gaps. So I think you don't know what you're looking for.
Okay, just blind.
Having panel gap nightmares.
Yeah.
Just like.
I would say it's very good.
That's great. That's great news.
Surprisingly.
It's good to hear. Congrats. Ticketmaster is expected 1.5 million verified Taylor Swift fans on the site, but 14 million people were trying to get tickets. What?
Did you hear about this? Yeah.
Are they nuts? They only expected 1.5 million tickets for the tour?
Yeah.
So I guess they obviously missed the mark on that one. Live Nation chairman says we could have filled 900 stadiums. So they're, that's kind of a cool thing to do. They're bigging up Taylor Swift. They're like, man, she's just got so many fans. We can't handle it.
Mm-hmm. Apparently she's upset too.
I'm sure she's upset, obviously. You know, your fans are trying to get your tickets and now will they still buy them? Mm-hmm. because they had such a headache. I mean, I assume they will. She's got some serious fans. Ticketmaster was only supposed to be open to 1.5 million verified Taylor Swift fans for pre-sale. Live Nation's chairman said 14 million people tried to get tickets and could have filled 900 stadiums. Greg Maffei said the company is sympathetic to fans for long wait times and website issues. That's the thing. They left it open. They're all stressing out. They need their Taylor Swift tickets. This is the Eras Tour. This was on Tuesday. Despite all the challenges and the breakdowns, we did sell over 2 million tickets that day. He's like, hey, we're pretty good. We sold 2 million. Who else sold 2 million tickets that day? They're like, you're Ticketmaster. You're the only option. You better figure it out if you're going to buy up all your competitors and whatever else they've done. Ticketmaster says its verified fan program is intended to create a safe and reliable ticket buying experience for fans of different artists and teams, and to level the playing field so that more tickets go to fans who intend to go to the show and not to ticket bots. That's for the resellers. Mm-hmm. People register to be a verified fan, and if they are selected, they receive an access code the night before presale opens. Are they getting too crafty with this, Will? Did they overstep on that? Is Taylor Swift sitting there like, hey, what is this verified fan situation?
Yeah. Are they paying like an extra 10 bucks, 20 bucks? To be a verified fan? Like what?
Yeah, they're always getting crafty with this stuff.
More emails for Ticketmaster?
Yeah, so I guess, yeah, people were talking on Twitter about how Ticketmaster is a monopoly. There's no competition. You got to take what you get from them because there's no one else in a position, and Live Nation owns all these venues, and people just wanted to dive into it. I think I even saw Marquez saying that Taylor Swift should just open her own Ticketmaster competitor. But I feel like that's been tried in the past, and it's just so daunting because of the venues. There's only so many venues that would make sense for somebody like her. And how much money do you want her to invest in this? Like, it's really outside the scope of an individual artist. I mean, you'd have to probably get a bunch together with very deep pockets in order to figure that out. Mm. Or start small with only a couple venues and then just do multiple nights and people have to travel. I don't know, Will.
Yeah. But if it's a central place and then people know where to get the tickets, wouldn't it be easier? But it would be a big onus on Ticketmaster, right?
Well, I think the idea is that in any environment where you have one player that controls almost anything,
yeah,
you have no ability to rectify problems. Like, you have no alternative. Without competition, you have no ability to take your business elsewhere. to say screw you, Ticketmaster, I'm gonna get my tickets from this place instead,
right,
and or to say, hey, you guys suck, your new tech or your new verified fan program to make more money, I don't want to take part in it, I'm not gonna pay this premium, or I don't even know how it's being implemented, but whatever it is, it was a hassle for people. Mm. And traditionally, in the marketplace, when it gets to the point that there's truly no competitors, things just tend to go downhill in general because there's no competition, right? There's no pressure or less pressure to improve. I mean, in the case of Ticketmaster, it's a bit different because the artists will always be supplying sufficient pressure. Sure. And they have extremely loud microphones. So Ticketmaster can't just be freewheeling over there and increasing their fees forever, although I presume they do that as much as they can.
Since they're a monopoly, really.
Well, yeah, and I don't know if they are technically to that extent at this moment, but it is, they are extremely powerful. Mm-hmm. TSA found a double-edged knife hidden in a gaming laptop. Will,
yeah,
goodness gracious. Surprisingly, not a razor blade or an MSI sword.
Wham, wham.
Thank you for the humor that only gamers can understand, Tom's Hardware. Mm-hmm. For gamers, by gamers, with gamers involved.
Look how covert that is.
Yeah. Well, but of course you're going to see it on the X-ray.
In the X-ray, yeah.
Yeah. A giant knife over there. I don't know why. What do you need the knife for? You're obviously not going to really access it immediately. You just need the knife when you get there, or are you just trying to get it through TSA?
Yeah, and it's not like an expensive knife or something.
No, it doesn't even look like a cool knife. It looks like a very thin. It looks like you're trying to hide the knife. I don't.
It's like.
Well, listen. How can we really speculate? Maybe this person did have some terrible ideas. The Transportation Security Administration stopped a man in Virginia's Richmond International Airport late last week after discovering a double-edged knife hidden inside his gaming laptop. According to TSA, the man, hailing from Williamsburg, Virginia, was going through security on November 11th when an officer, a security checkpoint, noticed a knife was in the man's carry-on bag via an X-ray machine. However, when the bag was searched and the contents were separated, no knife was found. When each item was re-screened individually, the knife appeared inside the laptop. So they had to obviously disassemble it, which is pretty wild. You picture the TSA agents disassembling a laptop. I don't know how frequently that happens.
Yeah,
but I
it's
guess
like we need Dave 2D.
They have to go to iFixit and order up or get Linus's screwdriver set over there. Actually, they say a small Phillips head screwdriver and something to pry the lid off.
Oh, okay.
They have all the stuff they need. Sure. Don't underestimate over here.
Right.
This was a superb job on part of the officers to first identify the threat and then to work in partnership with the Capital Region Airport Commission Police to obtain tools that were necessary to disassemble the laptop to reveal the knife. This guy really wants to get the knife on the flight. I find this this is quite odd. Stiff federal civil penalty, obviously, can't be doing this, could lead to a fine ranging from $390 to $2,250. Yeah, and in this case, it was obviously premeditated. It's not like, oh, hey, I forgot the thing in the bag. Like, that's happened to me.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot that was in there. This is, you installed it into your laptop in this case.
Or someone did.
Easy. You're going
conspiracy?
even deeper?
Yeah, maybe he bought it off of Kijiji or something.
You're going deeper. eBay. You're going deeper.
Yeah.
And you're looking.
And it was pre-installed.
Yeah, you're looking for more engagement.
As an upgrade.
You're looking for more engagement. As an upgrade, that's right.
Yeah.
You're right. That could have happened too. Well, a lot of things could have happened. Who knows? His wife could have tried to sabotage him. She's like, this stupid gaming laptop, I'm going to put a knife in it. So when you go on your business trip, you're going to be detained. Yeah, you never know, Will. A lot of people out there.
Too bad there's no more information about the motive or the person.
No, how are you going to find this stuff out?
Yeah.
Just more questions.
Last one.
McDonald's created a grease-proof gaming chair. Oh, God.
Huh? What do you think about that?
Oh, my God. Disgusting. The chair comes equipped with a French fry holster, dedicated dip holders, a burger heat zone, and grease-proof leather. Okay, grease-proof. Maybe it doesn't saturate it, but it's still sitting there on the surface, all greased up. If what are you going to do, sit in it naked? Because otherwise the grease is just going to go from the chair to your clothing.
Uh-huh.
It was only a matter of time. Really, for years, gamers have hurled expletives, shed tears of rage, and cursed their cruel gods for each and every French fry, potato chip, and other salted finger food tragically lost to the dark depths of a bedroom or living room amid bouts of extreme gaming enlightenment. Here we have the McCrispy Ultimate Gaming Chair. The chair includes a hot box to keep you warm while gaming. Look, the French fry holder looks kind of useful. Oh, man.
For a large fry?
Look at that rag to clean yourself on the bottom. That towel with the pattern to wipe yourself down after the fact. You got the McDonald's colors in there. It looks like your typical kind of gaming chair.
Uh-huh.
Little McDonald's branded headrest. I don't know. You might be able to pull this off, Will, on this show right here. Okay, here's what it's got in it. Fries holder, drink holder, two dip holders, hot box to keep the McCrispy warm while gaming, built-in napkin holder for two reusable napkins with McCrispy branding, a stain-proof leather treatment, enjoy your McCrispy in peace, and modular armrests to allow users to swap their McCrispy to different sides. Because you might be left-handed or right-handed. So
sure.
this is a real, well, it's not real in the sense that you can buy it, but they did make it, and you can win one by the looks of it. Win the ultimate game. Yeah, well, there you go. They got the little promo going on. And they got a few reactions from it. There's the box to keep things hot. Have you had this McCrispy yet, Will?
I did a couple of times.
Yeah, and it's better than a McChicken, is it not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. It's okay.
It's okay. Well, I don't know about this grease-proof design. I feel like I got to put it to the test before I would be able to agree with these claims. However, I mean, it's 2022, and whatever it takes for engagement, Will, including grease-proof chairs and kicking people off of Twitter and bringing them right back, firing everyone, hiring everyone, traveling to Mars if you're Willie Doo. What a time to be alive. Thank you very much to everybody who spent their time with us, engaging with us today.
Yeah, thank you.
We will see you once again sometime soon on the next episode of Maximum Engagement. Greaseproof. Nothing's really greaseproof, you kidding me?